Welcome in, everyone. This is The Vegas Verdict. We are broadcasting from Red Chimp Studios in the heart of Las Vegas. And here we look at a variety of different local and national issues of interest. We offer legal insight whenever possible. And ultimately, we hand down a verdict. I'm Gerard Romalo. Our guest today is none other than the former judge, Tony Abbatangelo. He's also known to many of you as Tony the Tapper. And that's not just because he can dance his way around legal issues, but because he can actually tap dance. Today, Tony, we are talking about an incident that became national headlines. And this was, it happened in a local courtroom, Judge Mary Kay Holthus's courtroom. She was attacked by a defendant. She was in the process of handing a verdict down, and she was attacked by a defendant. I'm sure you saw the video that became viral.
Yes, I saw the video right away. There's a group of defense attorneys that help each other out, like in the day, hey, I'm going to Henderson. I'm going to North Las Vegas. But it was, I mean, it had just happened. It was already circulating.
So this was Judge Mary Kay Holthus's courtroom. She was about to hand down a sentence. The defendant, his name is Deobra Redden. Pretty sure I'm pronouncing that correctly. But he was a convicted felon. He had had a history of violent offenses. He had had some trouble with the law. And as she was in the process of delivering her sentence, he jumped up, was actually able to hurdle the bench, which is an incredible feat. He was able to grab onto her hair and push her into the back wall. She was injured, but not seriously. Her law clerk, her bailiff, and a few others, I think, tried to jump in, and the issue was resolved relatively quickly. But it does pose quite a few questions with respect to safety in the courtroom. Give me your perspective on what you think happened and what you think maybe needs to happen with respect to safety.
Well, there's a whole variety of issues in there. Number one is the guy has had a history of mental health issues. His defense attorney was even arguing that. But backing up, you are correct. He's been to prison. He's a felon. And he just snapped from what it seemed like, because you hear him say, oh, hell no. And then all of a sudden, he's flying over the bench. And that bench, I mean, it's almost 5 feet tall. Because I get it, I'm short. It goes up to my neck, you know? But, I mean, for him to clear that, I think everybody was in shock, number one.
Right.
And so safety, is my wife's not a lawyer, and she said to me, you know, why isn't there, like, plastic there? Or, like, you know, some kind of glass.
A barrier.
A barrier of some sort. Well, there's a lot of courtrooms, and this has never happened. Mm-hmm. So that may be occurring. Another practical solution is the bailiff, or they call them marshals now, was standing behind him. And that's kind of the normal protocol for some judges. And they're ready to handcuff him behind their backs, get that done, and, you know, boom, take care of it. And if the person was to run, the marshal's standing right there. I can't see on the video where the marshal is in relationship to him. Now, another, I think, practical solution is when the judge and marshal are working together, and they should get that routine down, the marshal should stand in between the judge, the defendant. So he can't go flying past him. Get that in theory they could run out the back door,
right?
But eventually you're going to catch him, but you're going to protect the judge, because that's the marshal's job, protect the judge, staff, and people in the courtroom.
Is it realistic to think that maybe we could have more than one marshal or more than one bailiff for those violent offenders or those with a history?
I don't think that's a practical solution, because you never know when someone's going to, just using everyday terms, someone's going to lose it. Mm-hmm. And that's what happened here, because this guy was out of custody, as opposed to when you have the in-custody inmates, which generally are the violent ones. Mm-hmm. They got the belly chains on. They might be cuffed to another guy. They don't have the ability to make the sprint, because they also have ankle chains on.
Right.
You know, there are not a lot of violent people out of custody. So practically speaking, you're not really going to need it. It's kind of overkill, number one. Yeah. Then number two, I saw the next day or 2 days later, whatever it was, Chief Judge Jerry Weiss was making an announcement about what happened, and somebody asked that exact question, mm-hmm. somebody in the audience, and you're going to need, there's a minimum of 32 district court judges. Some do civil, some do criminal, some do both. Family court, which is just as dangerous, if not more, mm-hmm. There's 26 of them. There are 16 justices.
It's not practical that we're going to have the number of bailiffs that we need for every case.
There's 16 JP, so now you're at 100, yeah. or 80, or whatever it is. Yeah, so practically speaking, that's a lot of money. And is it really needed? It's really, I don't think it's needed.
Right.
I think there are some simple solutions, because I've been around a long time, and one of the things I was thinking about, and also I used to be a judge, and I was fairly easy with people. I mean, I was also in justice court, not district court. But I would look at my marshal. She would look at me if we knew somebody was going into custody, and she would be in between me and the defendant, and they would get him.
Yeah.
And handcuff him and, you know, be polite.
You're usually aware of the dynamic in the courtroom, though.
Right.
The judge and the attorneys and everyone involved is usually pretty aware of the dynamic, and that you've got to be.
Right, and that's just what exact words I was going to say. You have to pay attention.
Another clip of video that we'd like to show here, and this was the follow-up when she did actually hand down the sentence.
Right.
Here comes the defendant, Mr. Redden, once again, and you can see that this time his hands have those sort
the mitts,
of the mitts where he can't even scratch anyone or himself for that matter. And he's got the face gear that everyone said, oh, it's a Hannibal Lecter-ish, where he's not even going to be able to bite or do anything that would harm anyone near him. And we also noticed that there were probably five or six marshals on every possible angle just in case. I don't know if this was overkill. She did allow cameras in the courtroom once again. So there was potentially a message being sent there. I'm curious on your thoughts on that.
Well, no, that's normal for very violent offenders, okay. or people that are in danger. It's called, and a lot of those people were correction officers from the jail. They weren't extra marshals. I presume were extra marshals there, because I happened to be in Justice Court 12 when Mr. Redden was brought in on his new charges. And when you have a violent offender like that, or a person that has mental health issues that might start spitting on people or screaming or fighting other inmates or correction officers, it's called the CERT team. And I don't know if it's what the CERT means. I don't know the acronym,
right.
but they'll bring all the inmates in, because first of all, to back up, there's a tunnel that connects the detention center to the courthouse. All the inmates are brought up the elevator. Mm. There's anywhere from 300 to 500 inmates brought a day to the courthouse.
Wow.
So let's say it's, you know, a group of 15 coming into the courtroom, and then there's Mr. Redden. He's going to be in his own little group. He's got his own little detail.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
they're there to make sure that he doesn't fight other people, in his case,
right.
attack a judge,
right.
spit, because, you know, nobody with communicable diseases, you don't want, you know, people spitting on you. And I've seen that happen very often in court, where people come to court that way. Like one guy I represented was a high-level cartel member, and they were worried about the cartel taking him out in case he's going to snitch, that kind of thing. So it's not necessarily that it's – so there was a lot of people around him.
Right, right.
And then the mitts, because this guy was also charged with murder, we don't know if he's going to – was he defending himself? Was he more of a murderer? Is he a cold-blooded killer?
Close is watching and could potentially be involved.
Take
in
him out. Right.
right.
Yeah, there's sure. gang cases. There's all kinds of stuff. But it doesn't happen a lot.
Okay.
And they put those masks on the face because of the – one of the new charges for Redden was for – I can't remember the exact term, but basically spitting on people.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they have the mitts, so he doesn't have the ability to grab. You know, you can't grab somebody.
Scratch, punch, any of that.
Right. Obviously. So, like, for example, you grab me by my tie. That's mm-hmm. why I joke around. It's like, I hate wearing a tie. Not because I don't like it. It's because what if somebody grabs it?
There you go.
You know, but, I mean, if I, you know, he could grab your shirt.
Absolutely.
So there's a lot of protective means that way. And more importantly, there are four or five guys ready to pounce on him.
100%. You touched on something very interesting, and we're going to talk about that coming up after this short break, and that is the mental illness aspect of it. We'll be right back after this. You're watching The Vegas Verdict.
If you've been injured in an accident, you don't have to go it alone. At Paul Paddle Law, we understand your injuries aren't just physical. They also bring financial burden and emotional strain. At our firm, it's not just about legal representation. It's about genuine care and commitment. Lock in the attention you deserve from your attorney. We'll get you on the path to recovery. Call Paul Paddle Law. Legal security when you need it.
Welcome back, everyone. You are watching The Vegas Verdict. Our guest today, Tony Abatangelo. He's the former judge. He's Tony the Tapper. He's a legal defense expert, probably the top one in the entire valley, and everybody knows him. We're happy to have you with us. Today, we're talking about that admittedly rare incident that became national news where a defendant, a felony defendant, jumped the bench and was able to attack one of our judges, Mary Kay Holthus. The issue that I want to bring up now, and this is where we're interested in coming down with our own verdict, is the issue of mental illness. Should there be a special consideration given to defendants with mental illness? And the reason I bring this up, the defendant's sister came out a few days after and said the judge actually provoked that response. She triggered it by her words. She should have known that he had a history of mental illness. He was in and out of mental institutions, and that should have been a consideration in the way she handed down that sentence. Now, you and I probably came from an upbringing. I know, you know, my own upbringing, my father was, there's right and there's wrong, and if you do the wrong, there's a consequence, period. But now there's a lot of gray area, and mental illness is an actual issue worth considering. Give me your thoughts.
There are certain rights and certain wrongs that are just unacceptable. Attacking another person, let alone a judge, that's not right. That's unacceptable. Mm-hmm. That's a minimum a battery. You can hurt somebody. Judge Holthus isn't a spring chicken anymore, like myself. We were baby lawyers together. Mm-hmm. It's that young man. Well, let me rephrase that. The older person has no chance against the young person in that fact pattern.
Right.
And what happened here? But once again, you have to be cognizant of your surroundings. If I've got a mental health issue with somebody, I can give them the same sentence. I tell people that it's how you talk to people. You can be kind. And when I ran for judge way back in 1993, you can be firm yet fair. So there's a way to communicate with people. And I also tell people, Justice Perigary on the Nevada Supreme Court, when he was a muni judge way back when, you'd go, that guy was great after you walked out of the courtroom. And then you go, wait a second, we just got hammered, you know? But, I mean, it's how you communicate with people. And you have to take, and I think the whole system has to take, consider into consideration mental health issues.
Right.
Because you and I are going to behave differently. We're never going to jump over the desk, jump and tack a judge. Right? We're not going to do that. But a person with mental health illness just snaps and has no control.
Right.
And my understanding from talking to people involved on the family side of Mr. Redden is he had mental health appointment scheduled like in March. Mm. He had been in custody, got out, and the mental health system hadn't provided him the ability to get back on his medication. Mm. Now, that begs the question, because I've been doing this for a long time. As a lawyer, as a judge, you can't force somebody to take their meds. And the problem people have with the medication is now they feel, oh, I am taking my medication. There's something wrong with me, so I'm not going to take it.
So
they go off the meds.
And here's the question, and this is, I think, where we would like to come up with a verdict. And maybe it's not a clear verdict, but should judges be concerned about triggering defendants who have a history of mental illness?
I would say yes, because you're in a courtroom. There's only so much security that can be provided. And here's the thing. So let's say the guy did not clear the bench and you take him down. What if your marshal still gets hurt or court staff gets hurt or that guy gets hurt? Mm-hmm. And it disrupts the flow of the courtroom. You know what I mean? It's you need to be caring and considerate of your surroundings. And I don't care if it's in a courtroom or anywhere else. How about when we walk down the street and some crazy guy's yelling at us, or yelling, I should just say, at the top of his lungs. Do you make eye contact and go over and want to talk to him? No, I'm going the other way. That happened to me once. I was walking to court, guy screaming and yelling. I'm like, oh, here he comes. He starts coming towards me. So I slow down. He slows down. I'm like, here we go. He starts coming up to me, and I just had my briefcase, and I just shoved it at him. And I said, get the F away from me.
Yeah, that's a little too close for comfort.
And he did walk away. Yeah. But then he picked up a bike, like within 5 minutes, and he hit a city attorney with it.
Oh, wow.
The city attorney had stitches and everything. I mean, you have to pay attention to your surroundings. Yeah. You can be tough on that guy, and you can. There's two ways to say it. Sir, I'm giving you the maximum sentence of 19 to 48 because of A, B, C, D. Mm-hmm. Or you can, pound your fist, and respectfully, I know what Judge Holth has said, I'm going to give you a taste of something different, mm-hmm. And because what are you doing? You're flaring up the situation.
Right.
I mean,
and the sentence is the same, no matter how you deliver it.
Correct.
Right.
Absolutely. And I tell people when I was in law school, Ricardo Montalban, remember?
Yeah. The plane.
That's right. Fantasy Island. Yes. Khan on Star Trek. I saw him on one of those late night shows, and he said, it's how you talk to people.
Yeah.
Somebody calls you, hello? Or hello? Hello? It's like it sends a message.
It does.
And this thing, when we watch movies or plays, it's inflection of your voice. There's ways to, soften your voice, to calm people down. There's ways to elevate it.
Makes sense.
And let me tell you something. I just personally think things can be. I'm all about being polite.
Yeah.
And there's a polite way to say, I'm going to send you to prison. Right.
And I think when you're dealing with people who are violent and have a history, err on the side of caution, err on the side of kindness, right?
Right. I mean,
as much as you can.
But then again, look at our society today. People don't have empathy for other people like they used to. And it's a whole different world. But I prefer to be polite, be respectful. And that's what we do in court. Like I tell people, I catch flies with honey, not vinegar. Yelling at the DA, yelling at the judge isn't going to help my client or my future clients. But when you have that gray area, as you mentioned earlier, it helps.
Take that precaution. Very good. Tony Abatangelo is our guest. We will take one more break, and we'll be back with the verdict on The Verdict.
Legal troubles require swift action. And there's only one attorney who's quick on his feet.
Legal troubles don't wait, and neither should you. I'm Tony Abatangelo, a former judge with 30 years experience. I know the judicial system, and I know what will work for you in court.
When your circumstance requires a skilled negotiator who knows the law, tap into Tony. He's a former judge who can defend your rights. Call 707-7000.
Welcome back, everyone. The show is called The Verdict, and we have arrived at that time where we do hand down our verdict, our opinion, our conclusion on today's issue. We've been talking about the Judge Mary Kay Holthus incident that became national news, the viral video of the defendant jumping the bench and attacking her. Luckily, unfortunately, she wasn't seriously injured. But here was the question I posed to Tony and to all of you who are out there watching or listening. Should special consideration be given to defendants with mental illness? Is there such a thing as triggering, and should we be cognizant of that if we are a judge in a courtroom? Here's our verdict. Tony, you go first.
I would say absolutely. You have to be paying attention to your surroundings because you never know what's going to happen. And your actions cause a reaction. And mental health people could be calm that day. They could be violent. So let's make sure everybody in my immediate environment is safe.
I don't disagree with that. And the only thing I would add is that the sentence stays the same regardless of how you deliver that information and deliver that message.
I think you're right on target, my friend.
All right. That's going to do it for this edition of The Vegas Verdict. Be sure to join in on the conversation. Give us your own verdict, your own thoughts, your own opinions on our social pages. And remember, we will be back again shortly with another edition of The Vegas Verdict.